You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Morning came a little bit too early for me today, man. What? I couldn't go to sleep last night. Actually, I fell asleep watching the Kings play Edmonton. The LA Kings, not the Sacramento Kings. That suck. And if my nephew Jim's listening, your basketball team is horrible. Why they're still in the NBA, nobody even knows. Anyway, I just needed to get that off my chest. My nephew Jim will pick a fight with you about anything. Yeah, no kidding. Unbelievable. But anyway, I fall asleep. I wake up. Third period, Kings are going to win. I'm like, whoa, that doesn't happen very often these days. So I'm fired up about that. And then, go to bed. And I can't go to sleep. And it went on for hours. So, anyway, good morning to you. And all of a sudden, the morning showed up. I was like, whoa, man, I'm not ready for this already. I just went to sleep. And then I made the quintessential mistake, right? Alarm goes up, like, I'm not ready to get up. Let me sleep for a few more minutes. Yeah, that's right. And then the next time you look at the clock, you look at it and you go, what the hell? So anyway, good morning to you. Happy Monday after Thanksgiving to you. Oh, what is it? Cyber Monday? Happy Cyber Monday to you. Do you shop today? Do you do any of that stuff? My birthday is, my birthday is, let's see, next week. It's on December 7th. Just so, Libby, if you're listening out there, December 7th. Yeah. Anyway. So, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for your birthday? I would like a set of good Bluetooth earphones and earphones. So that's what I want. So they were like, what kind? I said, well, I'll even kick in on it, but if you guys are going to all kick in, then I'd rather get something nicer. And so then my son, the lieutenants, I'll be kind to him and say he's moderately frugal. Exactly. Dude squeaks when he walks. And so he's all over me. Now, you're sure of this, you're sure of that, you're sure. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, Cyber Monday. So we're going to get these things cheap. He's like, dude, if they're half off, why would we ever pay full price? And then he rips off something that I do. Things you never hear people say. Hey, let's not buy it now and pay full price later. Come on, bro, work with me. So, anyhow, happy Cyber Monday to everybody. Not sure, I've never been somebody that plans that early for Christmas. I probably should, but I don't. I tend not to. I tend to be more towards last week to do my shopping. And there's a little bit of an adventure. You get out there amongst everybody. All the last minute people are out there. You got the feel of Christmas in the air. All of that. So, that's how I tend to do it. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. You know, I did, and I will tell you this. I think I kind of needed it. Just to slow it down a little bit. After going to North Carolina, come back, and going to, where did I go after that? Then Mankato, there's some place, oh, Quantico. I think I was just tired. So it was nice to have that time off. Made Thanksgiving dinner here, which was not the plan. I was supposed to go to my cousin's. So shout out to my uncle Muggs. That's his name, Muggs, Muggs. Given name Francis. But shout out to him. He was in the hospital for a couple of days, so they said, called me up and they said, hey, we're not going to do Thanksgiving big this year. And I said, what? What kind of craziness is this? Now I'm on the hook for the meal? Are you kidding me? So, went out, bought turkey, and bought all the fixings to include cherries to make a cherry pie. And, whooped it on. I took the chef's advice. Did the stuffing with a baguette. But my daughter said it was good, but it's not, like, it wasn't, they don't like it. They didn't want it. Don't do it again. Yeah, dad, it was good. Different, don't do it again. I said, okay. All right. And they were right. It was good. But so anyway. No, but the key to the whole meal, the gravy, crushed it. The gravy's always a little bit interesting though. Because if you're not the most experienced gravy person in the world, and I would say that would be me. If you're not that person, there's always a bit of mystery. Okay, there's always a bit of mystery that says, is this really going to happen appropriately? And it always, let's see, how would I say this? There's always a bit of terror involved in it for me. it's the second year I've done it right or well. And, but there's always that moment of doubt, like, this isn't working this year. What do I have to do? Screw it. I'll use more Wondra and more brown sugar. Then all of a sudden it's like, ah, there it is. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. So I pulled that one, being the man that I am, I pulled that one out of my ass. So it was Thanksgiving. And then, what did I do on Saturday? Oh no. On Friday, me getting old. So on Friday I was supposed to go see my platoon sergeant, my company gunny, and he was my first sergeant at the same time. But he is the guy who walked up to me and said, you know, you're never going to get over this. So I was supposed to go see him on Friday. And I did. Hopped in the car, drove to, they live out in Ramona, he and his wife Nancy. And so his name's Lance Y. And you know what? He's one of the best staff NCOs, best Marines I ever served with. Tough, good. Good with Marines, hard on them, and fun with them. Very much like Mike. Very much like Mike Musselman in terms of, you know, being able to perform and get them to perform, but be tough on them. And he was hard on them. He's not easy, but it was awesome. And the company that we had. And there's no secret to it. We turned it into a great company. And I would have loved to have gone and fought that company. But was not in the cards. So went down and hung out with him all day. And then had dinner with him. And it was absolutely, positively an awesome day. One of those, you know, you have, as a Marine, you have relationships with some people, and you know, you can walk in and you say, hey, what's up? And you sit down, and it's like, I haven't seen him in 25 years, and it's like nothing's changed. It's one of the amazing things about the Marine Corps, that you work that closely with somebody, and you have that kind of chemistry with them as leaders, and so just had a great time. And, you know, what's interesting enough about that was, you know, he said, you know, when you first mentioned that I had said that, he said, I didn't even remember it. I said, what? he said, yeah, he said, I had to think about it. I didn't know what you were talking about. And so I said to him, well, what I don't know is, how did you hear you're never going to get over this? And I should have him on to tell the story, but I'll tell it right now. He said, I think he's a sergeant, staff sergeant. No, he'd been junior in that. Anyway, probably a corporal sergeant in there. And I think he's with Third Recon in Okinawa. And this is in late 70s. And Marine Corps, pretty tough place, man. You know, you had all the drugs, you had the race issues, post-Vietnam stuff. Marine Corps was a ring, and all those combat veterans. And he said, we had a gunny that every day, you know, went to the package store, and he bought a 12-pack, and he drank it. And he said, I remember talking to, I believe it was another, staff NCO, watching him, you know, walk out of the package store with it, and staff NCO said to him, Yeah, he's just, you know, he's just trying to get through it. You know, you never get over this stuff. And he's a Vietnam, the guy who was buying the beer every day, he was a Vietnam veteran. He said he's just trying to get through the day, something like that. And he said, you know, you said you never get over that. And so again, one of the things I love about the whole, you know, the whole post-traumatic wing thing that we talk about here is that it's all steeped in that. It's all steeped in the oral tradition of mental health that, you know, guys pass on to each other. And again, the unique thing about my life and my Marine Corps career is that I was so fortunate to have him there to say that stuff to me. And so fortunate that he had experienced it, and it somehow or other made a dent in him, and he passed along to me. You know, I'd say 99% of people don't have a guy like that who tells them something like that. And so they scuffle. So I got a chance to meet his wife, who I'd never met. And then went out to dinner and then during dinner, a text message from Colleen. Joe jumped up on a chair and then from that chair he could get to the bar stool that we put the Halloween candy on. And so he's ate a bunch of chocolate. Right? Dogs and chocolate don't mix. Although I'm somewhat dubious about that. Here's why. Dog can lick his ass, but he can't eat chocolate? Come on. You gotta be kidding me. It doesn't make sense to me intellectually that you watch your dog and he's there licking his ass, but he can't eat chocolate. Alright. So, I know, like Mac, you're stupid. Maybe. Maybe not, though. So, I'm sitting there with Lance and Barbara, and they said, well, it's dark chocolate, really, that's it. This is just milk chocolate. They said, he should be fine. So Colleen says, well, yeah, when I got there, he had already puked. And she said, I cleaned the puke up. I'm like, okay, well, we're human beings. Isn't that normal? But anyway, so I'm driving home. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what am I going to find? Jack's going to be sleeping and Joe's going to be dead? Jack would just look at him and go, all right, I'm going to go lay down someplace. So I come in the house, running around like a fuel-injected bozo is Joe. Joe the Wonder Dog tried to commit suicide, did not succeed. So he has now been deemed indestructible, right? But he has a ways to go to catch Jack. If you never heard these stories, Jack on two occasions should have been killed, maybe more, two legitimate occasions. He was with the lieutenant, Patrick, and they were in San Clemente. And I almost told Patrick, hey, make sure you roll your window up partway so he can't get out of it when we're driving. But I thought, no, Patrick knows. I should have told him. Anyway, so they're driving from I-5 to El Camino Real, which is Highway 1 that runs through San Clemente. And here's this guy walking his dog on a sidewalk. Jack sees it, looks, right? He goes airborne out the passenger door. Patrick says, all I see is his ass going out the window. And I yell, oh. And then I see a truck. How that truck misses that dog, he said, it's a mystery to me. Still don't understand it fully. So Joe, in his attempted suicide, he's only got one. Jack, man, I moved to Los Angeles. I thought, you know, when I got out in 2015, let me move up near Los Angeles. Lots of jobs up there. Not sure what I was going to do, but whatever you do, you're going to be able to find something up there, right? So that's where I moved. I'm unpacking stuff and up on the apartment's on the third floor, and all of a sudden I hear this screaming this woman screaming, and I thought she was being assaulted. I run to the balcony, and I see Jack down there. I'm like, what? And he had been on the balcony, and it had a, you know, a grill, and he'd stick his head through the grill, and he'd look around, right? Then he'd come back in. And they were walking their dog. Jack pokes his head through the grill, looks. He's like, same thing as in the car. I want to play with those guys. Looks around and says to himself, self, like, we could do this. Launches himself out of the third floor. Yep. And so I see Jack on the ground down there. And so I go running down there. And by the time I get down there, he's still trying to get up. And I thought, he's paralyzed himself. And what happened was he kind of knocked himself out. So he's getting up, and now he wants to play with the dog. And so I pick him up. I'm like, dude, you're insane. But I have to tell you that I really like Jack for doing that. I was impressive, right? Jumping off the third floor, to go play with another dog, that's like motivated. Yeah, he's a motivator. So Joe's got a way to go relative to near-death experiences. And then Jack, he concussed himself because he didn't move anywhere for the next 2 days very quickly. When he got off, like, he'd sleep, you know, hop up on the couch. When he would go to hop down, you know, dogs, like, just launch off the couch. No, he slowly stepped front paws first and back paws. His head was hurting. So, yeah, Jack, charmed life, man, charmed life. You know what? Just like combat luck. I should change Jack's name to Custer. You know, he's that animal. Anyway, so that gets you to Friday. Yeah, imagine that. And then Saturday, I was tired. I slept. Saturday, one of the best football game watching days of the year. In the morning, you had Ohio State and Michigan. Hope you're not a Michigan fan because they got their asses kicked in a game that they were supposed to win. Michigan and their cocky-ass head coach, who used to coach the 49ers, who I used to like what he did, now, guy's dead to me. Could not have been happier that he got what is coming to him. Anyway, especially in that game. So, yeah, so that started with that. And then Alabama-Auburn, normally a good game. Alabama, too good. Notre Dame-USC that night gave me a headache. Notre Dame played like garbage. Played like garbage against a pretty lousy USC team. And so Notre Dame, my team, they finished 12-0, and hopefully we'll be part of the college football playoff. So that was Saturday. I didn't do shit, right? But I did. Our girl Peyton Davis, right? Everybody knows Peyton. She sings "Hurt." You'll hear it in coming out of the first break. Yeah. So anyway, she says, "Hey Mac, have you ever read this book?" And I said, "What book?" And so she sends me a picture of a book called "The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck" by Mark Manson. And I said, no. I said, but I give a fuck. She said, no. He talks about when to give a fuck. I said, okay. So I thought, well, I'll listen to it while I'm watching a football game. And I did. First of all, anybody who says fuck at least 1,000 times in the first chapter, that's my kind of author, okay? And what he says is partially profound, right? The society that we live in and all that stuff and how it affects people. I would tell you, I'm only about halfway through it, but it's probably something that most people should listen to. What makes you happy? doing all these things that other people say you should do, or looking at other people's lives who are just so wonderful on the internet, who have everything, but he's the dude's funny. And when I don't know if the author reads it, but whoever's doing the reading is pretty good, pretty funny. So I listened to that and then fell asleep. And then Sunday I worked on the Ten Commandments. They're actually not ten. There's 13 commandments of post-traumatic winning. And it's designed to be a one-pager. I don't think I'm ready to unveil it yet. But it's stuff, if you listen to the program, you're going to say, oh, okay, I got all that. Yeah, it's that stuff. But it's designed to be, when I go speak, it's designed to be a one-pager, right? A PDF file that you can, I'm toying with it, whether it should be a PDF file or if it should be, if there's another way that I can save it, because I want it to be a one pager, but I want it to be vivid. Okay. I want it to be a vivid one pager that's scalable so that you could turn your phone landscape style and then expand it appropriately and you can scroll through it and go, yes. Okay. So, but there's 13 commandments. So you're trying to get it all on one page. So when you go speak, you could hand this out, right? You could hand this out and people can, you know, people keep it on their phones, right? And in one page, you know, they see it on occasion and look at it and they're like, all right. So they have it. It's handy access. Okay. And it's blunt and it's to the point. First commandment, we don't get over trauma ever. Second commandment, trauma is trauma. Third commandment, we're not disabled by trauma. Fourth commandment, it's okay to be damaged by trauma or to not get over it. So it's those kind of things. So I'm crafting it. And then below each one, I try to put at least one bullet that might explain some of it. But it's hard because you're trying to do a little explanation, but keep everything small enough to fit on one page. So that's my challenge. So I did that yesterday, most of the day. Did a little PT. And, let's see, came home. I had to do some laundry and clean up a little bit because I hadn't done that. So did that, and then I made a little dinner, made soup out of my turkey hulk, the turkey carcass, not the hulk, the turkey carcass. And so I did that, and I'm actually not bad at that now. Yeah. I know the chef said freeze it, and he'll tell you what to do with it, so if you did that, that's good. But you know, boil it, fish it out, strain everything, and throw some salt in there, and drain the fat. Yeah, Mac, Mr. Chef, throw some rice and some noodles in there, and some corn, because that's what I had. Kim would say mixed vegetables, but you know what? I'm a little more partial to corn and soup. So I did all that, and it was it turned out pretty good. And then what I did was I froze two-thirds of it and eating in the process of eating the other third. And there you have it. There's Mac's weekend. Then he falls asleep during the Kings game, wakes up, sees them win, and then goes to bed and can't go to sleep. And here I am today. My weekend. Hello. All right, there's a whole bunch of stuff in the news. They tried to bums rush the border. Thank God that honestly, the kind of interesting stuff going on the border, right? This caravan that, you know, and again, I'd be part of the caravan. If I was, I would not stay in Central America and live a life of hell if I was healthy enough to walk to the United States. And if it wouldn't matter if I had kids or not, I'd tell my wife, hey, I'll send money. And I'll send money, but I'm going. And then I'll bring you up. I'll find a way for you to get it. So, anywho, so it's kind of interesting to watch, you know, this thing's non-threatening. And this thing's not non-threatening. And then you watch the events, you know, the demonstrations and whatnot going on in Tijuana. If anybody ought to do something about it, it ought to be the Mexicans. Like, get these people out of here. These people are not going to simply squat on our streets because somebody organized a caravan in Central America, and now the Americans have shut down the border crossing. We're not doing this. I'm not going to have this havoc in my streets. Either arrest them and deport them, or arrest them and take them to some kind of facility and get them out of your business district. So it's been kind of interesting. So border shut down. On occasion yesterday, and tear gas used. And, I mean, if the military were not in certain places that allowed the Border Patrol to kind of surge forces there, what would be going on? So it's kind of interesting. And again, why our national leaders won't do anything about it? I mean, the Democrats won't even say the word immigration. And we're watching that stuff on TV. So that the Russians in action over the weekend, they have seized 3 Ukrainian warships. You know, and that's a one-way dance. The Russians can do that. Can you imagine if the Ukraine seized a Russian warship? What would happen? Interesting. The Chinese evidently have modified... are producing genetically modified human beings. That ought to give the world really, really positive news. Unbelievable. And then, what was the other thing I saw? I saw an article about there's a retail firm called Dolce & Gabbana, right? It's high-end retail made for the truly beautiful people that have a ton of money. Anyway, they were talking about the problems that they're having in China. They featured in something they did, either somebody from Taiwan or something. It offended the senses of the communists in China. And now they're on their knees groveling because China is doing what they do, which is saying, right, you'll stop insulting us by embracing a free culture. What? Yeah, when you embrace a free culture, you insult us, which means we will not let you in our market. So the Chinese, man, they're bad news. They're bad news all the way around. So with all that said, good morning to you. Alex Holling is going to join us today. So we'll catch up with Alex. He's got a bit of a new gig, too. He's always got a new job, man. And so we'll talk to him in about 25 minutes. And so, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Welcome to the Christmas season. And it's dedicated to Gunnery Sergeant Lance Y, United States Marine Corps. I hadn't seen my company first sergeant, my company Gunny. He was acting first sergeant for a long time for me, which I really enjoyed. And, you know, at the same time being my Gunny. And first time in 25 years. So just dedicated to him. A great Marine and a great friend.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Raining at 48 degrees in Quantico. Cloudy in 67 at Camp Lejeune. They have three weather warnings, which means we have to look at it. Three is my number. If you only have two, it's like, okay, that's a gale force warnings and a whatever. Gale warning, marine weather statement, and a special marine warning. So, must be high winds. Down at Camp Lejeune, cold in Texas. It's partly sunny in 39 in Granbury, Texas. 29 Palms, it's clear, sunny in 50 degrees. Pendleton, sunny in 49 degrees. Okinawa, cloudy, dark in 73, so ops normal there. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, clear, dark in 63. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is cloudy, dark in 63. Currently, the home of All Marine Radio, Costa Mesa, Newport Beach, area of Southern California, it is sunny and 56 degrees. Cooler temperatures over the weekend. Today, looking for a high of 76 degrees under sunny skies. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 73. And on Wednesday, mostly cloudy and 68. That is a look at your weather around Marineland. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Oops.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting.
When I was texting with P. Davis over the weekend, Peyton Davis, she was fishing. I said, what? Yeah, wait till the next time she's on the show. I'll post the pictures. Yeah. She's in Florida fishing, and she's catching big fish. I said, are you catching those fish? She said, yes. So you're like a fisher chick? She said, I am. Legit. Yeah. Pretty funny, actually. All right, we'll check the news here. Let's see. Biggest news is Secretary of Defense. Constitutional questions emerge about expanding the role of troops on U.S. soil. The White House may face legal challenges to the expansion of authorities for troops to the southern border. Okay. So, first story relative to that is Maddox explains new roles, authorities at the border. Now, I'll tell you this. For those of us who've been around him, when you work with him, he will know this like the back of his hand. He will know the history from soup to nuts of Americans and every trip they've made to the border. He will be reading about that. All right, so here's a little bit of audio from the Secretary of Defense. If I can get it to work. And I will, because it's what I do.
There has been no call for any lethal force from DHS. So right away, I can say, going back to your earlier point, we don't have guns in their hands right now, other than a couple of NCOs. So there is no armed element going in. I will determine it based upon what DHS asks for. and a mission analysis. Relax.
Okay.
Don't worry about it, okay? On detention, we do not have arrest authority. Detention, I would put it in terms of minutes. In other words, if someone's beaten on a border patrolman, and if we were in position to have to do something about it, we could stop them from beating on them and take them over and deliver them to a border patrolman who would then arrest them for it. There's no violation. Posse comitatus is no violation here at all. We're not going to arrest or anything else. To stop someone from beating on someone and turn them over to someone else, this is minutes, not even hours. There has
So they have it, in his own words, the Secretary of Defense. So then the other story that that happened late last week was White House approves use of force, some law enforcement roles for border troops. Okay, so anybody who's served in this capacity knows the dicey world that when you go down near the border and you're on active duty that this stuff happens. Okay. The White House last week signed a memo that allowed troops stationed at the border to engage in some law enforcement roles and use lethal force if necessary, a move that legal experts have cautioned may run afoul of the Posse Comitatus Act. The new cabinet order was signed by White House Chief of Staff John Kelly, not President Donald Trump. It allows the Department of Defense military personnel to perform those military protective activities that the Secretary of Defense determines are reasonably necessary to protect border agents, including a show or use of force, including lethal force, if necessary, crowd control, temporary detention, and cursory search. However, an earlier decision memo that came to the same recommendations that were contained in the cabinet memo was signed by President Trump, according to documents obtained by Newsweek. There's approximately 5,900 active duty troops, 2,100 National Guard troops deployed to the U.S.-Mexican border. Then the article goes in to the history of the Posse Comitatus Act. Military forces always have the inherent right to self-defense, but defense of the border agents on U.S. soil is new. In addition, troops have been given additional authorities in previous years to assist border agents with drug interdictions, but the widespread authorization of use of force for thousands of active duty troops is unique to this deployment. Each domestic deployment of troops to any of the 50 states or U.S. territories is governed by the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Instruction 3121.01 Bravo, Standing Rules of Engagement, Standing Rules for the Use of Force by U.S. Forces, and two annexes. Lima and November are specific to the Defense Department mission in support of civilian authorities. However, each mission is unique, and the standing rules for the use of force can be adjusted except for the limitation against active-duty U.S. forces conducting law enforcement on U.S. soil, which is enshrined in an act, the Posse Comitatus Act. Okay, so John Kelly said in his signed directive that the additional authorities were necessary because, quote, credible evidence and intelligence have indicated that thousands of migrants who have now made their way to the U.S. checkpoint near Tijuana, Mexico, may prompt incidents of violence and disorder that could threaten border officials. But the White House still may find itself facing a legal challenge if the authorities in the memo are determined to be counter to law. So, those are the issues, and I think you heard the Secretary of Defense lay them out. Look, if arrest is pulling off, and arrest and detention is a active duty service member pulling somebody off a Border Patrol agent and then handing them over to a police officer, then that's what we're talking about. So, but interesting stuff on the border. Interesting stuff on the border. And again, it just highlights our own dysfunctional democracy where this issue doesn't get dealt with because somebody might politically take advantage of it. They might call it a win. Well, now with the House and the Senate split, maybe they can both claim victory and maybe something could get done. But it just seems awfully stupid to me. Another story that broke late last week, this one by the Associated Press, is the Trump administration on Friday asked the Supreme Court to issue an unusually quick ruling on the Pentagon's policy of restricting military service by transgender people. It's the fourth time in recent months the administration has sought to bypass lower courts that have blocked some of its more controversial proposals and pushed the high court with a conservative majority to weigh in quickly on the divisive issue. Earlier this month, the administration asked the high court to fast-track the case. The first one was the DACA case, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, which shields young immigrant from deportation. Administrative officials also recently asked the high court to intervene to stop a trial in a climate change lawsuit and in a lawsuit over the administration's decision to add the citizenship question to the census in 2020. That, you know, that to me is mind-boggling. Right? Can we not ask? We can't ask them, are you a citizen? Like, it's the craziest shit in the world. So, anyway, President looking to fast track the transgender issue. I mean, in my opinion, you can see the Secretary Mattis. Right, and you've seen articles consistently written about deployability and things like that. So you can see him working here. If becoming transgender puts you on the shelf for like 3 to 4 years, come on, that's longer than your enlistment. You're not compatible with military service. So be on your way. And I don't care if it's your knee. If it was simply your knee, there'd be no question. You'd be med boarded out. If you have that issue lingering, your military service is not your right. You're not compatible. You are not going to be Philip Brown deployable forever. So I think it's ridiculous, honestly. U.S. Army Ranger killed in Afghanistan. Ranger's pretty good at what they do. On Sunday, yesterday, Pentagon released the name of a U.S. Army soldier killed in Afghanistan. Sergeant Leandro Jasso was deployed in support of Operation Freedom Sentinel. He was wounded by small arms fire while conducting combat operations in the Cash Rod District in Afghanistan's Nimruz province, which has long been on the eastern side of the country. Wait, Nimruz province. Stand by. Thank you. I just had to fire up my Google Earth so I could take a look and make sure I didn't get bad gouge, which I think I was about to do. Nimers is south and west of Helmand, so it's not on the eastern border. I don't know why I thought it was. Anyway, the story goes on to say that he was immediately treated and medically evacuated to the nearest medical treatment facility in the Garmsur district, which is in Helmand, in neighboring Helmand province, where he died on Saturday of his wounds. The incident is under investigation. Jasso was a team leader assigned to 2nd Battalion, 75th Ranger Regiment at Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Washington. It was his third deployment to Afghanistan. He's from Leavenworth, Washington, enlisted in 2012. So keep, obviously, to, I don't know, to me there's always been something that's incredibly brutal about hearing somebody, some family gets notified during a Thanksgiving weekend. And for that family, the Jasso family, that's what they went through. So obviously our thoughts and prayers go out to them. The here's a story in Marine Corps Times, and then we'll check the early bird, take a break, and then Alex Holling is going to join us this morning. Here's why Marine Raiders want to take down GPS cell phones, and a Russian navigation service. The Corps' elite operators, known as Raiders, are looking to buy small portable technology that can knock out cell phones, GPS, and Russian navigation systems, known as GLONASS, to help prepare its special operators for future battlefields. The commercial cell phone and GPS jammers were described in a request for quotation posted by Marine Special Operations Command on Friday. But these portable devices are not for real-world operations. They're intended to realistically replicate conditions special operators may find themselves on future battlefields, said Major Nick Manweiler, a MARSOC spokesman. The training aligns with the Raiders' recent assessment of future operations environment, which was outlined in a recently published document known as MARSOF 2030. The document called for an overhaul of training, equipping, and manning of the Raiders to ensure that special operators are prepared to fight across multiple domains with near-peer rivals, which is the challenge of the U.S. military in the future. In the future, the U.S. will no longer be able to operate under the assumption of uninterrupted GPS. Satellite communications capabilities the U.S. military has taken for granted during its counterinsurgency conflict. Hell, we can't even, they got jammed up in Norway recently. So it's not even in the future. So, anyway, so MARSOC buying things that wipe out all cell phones, going back to your lens at it compass. Or you're going to see a whole series of products that get created that that operate in that domain. Okay, this is a low-powered regional solution that you can put up. Interesting. Number one, Mattis explains new roles and authorities at the border. We talked about that. Pretty amazing, though. Pretty amazing. And again, can you imagine being on the Mexican side of the border? Got all these people rolling around, all this bullshit going on. And an American government who won't effectively deal with it. Stupid. stupid. So, well, we'll see how the Mexican government deals with this. They don't seem to have the same compunctions relative to rounding people up and making them go away. Second story, U.S. Army Ranger killed in combat operations in Afghanistan. Again, story about Sergeant Jasso. Number three, U.S. military is putting new observation posts in northern Syria. Kind of an interesting story about the future. Our future presence in the region. The U.S. military will begin putting observation posts in northern Syria to help Turkey secure its border from the threats wandering through the war-torn country. The move could prevent skirmishes in areas near Turkey's border from distracting U.S.-backed fighters from their mission to defeat the Islamic State. The buildup, though, could draw the ire of U.S. lawmakers, some of whom view the mission in Syria as drifting away from its original goal of defeating ISIS. This is a change now, Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis told reporters on Wednesday at the Pentagon. We are putting the observation posts in several locations up along the northern Syrian border because we want to be the people who call the Turks and warn them if we see something coming out of an area we're operating in. Mattis said this move was made in close consultation with Turkey, a NATO ally, and has made several offensive operations into Syria over the last few years to deal with militant groups. The U.S. has been obviously looking for ways to diffuse the tension on the border without Turkey going in and using its military to destroy American allies that were fighting ISIS, and many of them Kurds that exist in the northern part of Syria. So that's been a delicate dance that, one, we don't throw another one of our allies that have been useful to us to the wolves, which is a uniquely American trait. And then diffusing that situation. So, but it does mark an evolution in the American presence, which doesn't look like it's going to go away in Syria. And honestly, as long as Iran is there, at least the territory held by the United States, along with its allies, is a block on this whole Iranian thing. Number four, Pentagon shrinks key U.S. South Korean military exercise. So this is a dance that we've done while we dance with Mr. Kim. A key military exercise between U.S. and South Korea will go ahead next year, but in a diminished form in order to not interfere with ongoing political negotiations. We're not canceling exercises, Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis told reporters. The exercise is called Full Eagle. It's being reorganized a bit to keep it at a level that will not be harmful to diplomacy. Mattis later added that the exercises are being reduced in scope and did not give any details relative to actual numbers. Full Eagle represents the two biggest annual exercises between the U.S. and the Republic of Korea, with the 2018 edition involving roughly 11,500 U.S. troops and 290,000 South Korean troops. The exercise covers air, land, and naval coordination, making it perhaps the closest representation to what the two nations would be doing if war broke out on the peninsula. The news comes roughly a month after the Pentagon officially suspended another joint exercise known as Valiant Ace, an annual December air exercise involving more than 12,000 forces. So, again, the kabuki dance we do with North Korea. So, and I think it's appropriate not to cancel it. Right? Modify it as you need to modify it, but still canceling when progress has been scant. Don't see that as a very good thing to do. Two missiles were fired on the city of Ghazni Wednesday as General Miller visited there. That's news. Another story from Stars and Stripes. U.S. and Russian forces have clashed repeatedly in Syria, according to U.S. envoy. U.S. and Russian forces, American and Russian forces have clashed a dozen times in Syria, sometimes with exchanges of fire, U.S. envoy told Russian journalists in a wide-ranging interview this week. Ambassador James Jeffrey, U.S. Special Representative for Syria Engagement, offered no specifics about the incidents on Wednesday, speaking to the Russian newspaper Kommersant and state-owned news agency RIA Novosti. Jeffrey had been asked to clarify the casualty numbers and details of a February firefight in which U.S. forces reportedly killed up to 200 pro-Syrian regime forces, including Russian mercenaries who had mounted a failed attack on a base held by the U.S. and its mostly Kurdish local allies near the town of Deir al-Zur. None of the Americans at the outpost, reportedly 40, had been killed or injured. Jeffrey declined to offer specifics of the incident, but said it was not the only such confrontation between Americans and Russian. Quote, U.S. forces are legitimately in Syria, supporting local forces in the fight against Daesh and, as appropriate, and this has occurred about a dozen times in one place or another in Syria. They exercise the right of self-defense when they feel threatened, Jeffrey said, using the Arabic term for the Islamic group state, Daesh. That's all we say about that. Asked to clarify, he said only that some of the clashes had involved shooting and some had not. Quote, there have been various engagements, some involving exchange of fire, some not, he told journalists in remarks on the U.S. Embassy in Moscow website. Again, we are continuing our mission there, and we are continuing to exercise our right of self-defense. Interesting. Stars and Stripes breaks pretty interesting news on a regular basis. Tension escalates after Russia seizes Ukrainian ships. Russia has fired on and seized three Ukrainian naval vessels off the Crimean Peninsula in a major escalation of tensions between the two countries. Two gunboats and a tug were captured by Russian forces. A number of Ukrainian crew members were injured. Each country blames the other for the incident. On Monday, today, Ukrainian members of parliament are due to vote on declaring martial law. The crisis began when Russia accused the Ukrainian ships of illegally entering its waters. The Russians placed a tanker under a bridge in the Kerch Strait, the only access to the Sea of Azov, which is shared between the two nations. During a meeting of Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council, President Petro Poroshenko described the Russian actions as unprovoked and crazy. Russia has requested an emergency meeting of the U.S. Security Council, which U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley, says has been called for 1100 New York time today. So, as we speak, here it is. Well, they're meeting right now. The Russians. Crazy, crazy shit. But you know what? I mean, this stuff is great because it just shows what the Russians are. And the same thing with the Chinese. You know, genetically modified babies. Right, they have, you know, the social score, right? The social citizenship score that the Chinese are working on means everything you do, right? Like it'll be like your credit report. And this is where Google comes in. And this is, to me, why Google is such a disgusting company. Google is going to give them better artificial intelligence. Okay? That artificial intelligence is going to be used to monitor every Chinese citizen, right? Their online behavior. Okay? They are now taking those people and they have to give up their electronic devices for search, something they've done in the heavily Muslim parts of the country, where they've interned people in re-education camps to get them not to be Muslim. So it's Orwellian beyond anything that Orwell could have even conceived. But, you know, it's good that they do these things. Because at some point, this great China thing, right? I think everybody says, you know what? Not so much. Yeah, they've got a ton of people, but let the Chinese do business there. We don't want to do business there because you know what it means? We have to give up our business. We have to give them all of our trade secrets. We have to partner with another Chinese firm. And then they dictate the terms that we do business there. And not only dictate the terms we do business there, but the terms that we do business on around the world. So, for instance, the Dolce & Gabbana story that I mentioned earlier, right? We're going to dictate, right, what you can do in other parts of the world, things that we don't like. Okay, go to hell, man. So, it's good that they do these things. The world can see. All right, we'll take a break. We come back. Alex Hollings. He of SoftRep, and he's got another gig going now. He's amazing. But he's having some cell phone issues this morning. So we'll get him on the phone. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.